This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan Rusin, the community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing today in that warm room?
Gino, making it happen, man. Trying to get an acquisition before the end of the year to offset some gains. You know, we love that sweet depreciation as multifamily investors, and also ramping up for our final bootcamp of the year. We got a finance rate bootcamp in Atlanta. Always an awesome time getting together with the Jake and Gino community. Gino, how are you?
Josh, as you well know, we just came off of Multifamily Mastery 4 with over 800 students out there, part of the Jake and Gino community. And it was great. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And I just realized the power of networking, the power of multifamily. It's a team sport. I think our student on today, Vince, is going to be discussing that as well. And there's so many different ways to get into multifamily. And you need to get out to events, everybody. You need to network, whether you create your own or you come to MM5 or you become part of the community. It's all about networking and is meeting as many people as possible and showing them what your true value is.
I love that. Speaking of today's guest, we have Vince Scolari. So after graduating from college, Vince started his career in risk management for construction. Seeing firsthand how the property landscape was rapidly evolving in the Bay Area and the power that equity growth could bring, he began investing in syndications right away. Vince has built a meaningful network of like-minded real estate entrepreneurs and success with acquisitions across the domestic U.S. He brings that same level of success from these efforts to his client base at Lawrence Rose Capital. Welcome to the show, Vince.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Vince, so let's just dive into your story. So start from the beginning, how you got into your career, how you ended up becoming a business owner, and then kind of why real estate and why multifamily? Break all that down for us.
Yeah, so, like probably most people out of college, didn't really know what I wanted to do in life, but started kind of testing the waters and in industry. And I always felt like I wanted to have something that was flexible that afforded me a lot of opportunity and control. So I got into sales. And, as my career evolved, I ended up via a family connection in insurance and risk management. I had kind of had this, I guess you would say kind of negative, as most people do, mindset towards insurance. Is everybody's like, my insurance, my homeowners, my house, all this stuff, you know, by multifamily, it's like, it's screwing up my NOI. I can't, you know, what are these insurance guys, you know? So, but the opportunity that I was afforded was, actually in a very specialized niche. Specifically only work on large commercial construction and development accounts. So fewer clientele, very specialized businesses generate a lot of premium. So, two was more than what I liked about it and what initially led me to that aspect of, ultimately creating a career out of it was we were really involved in their businesses as actual partners in these people's business. So developing safety cultures and working with their personnel. We were also highly involved on the financial side of the business. And most people don't understand this part, but the public contractors, when they bid on a job that's funded by taxpayers, have to post what's called a surety bond. And it's basically like credit. So you're involved in the financial aspect of the business, which was a lot of fun because you get to talk to the higher ups on, you know, things they're doing in the business and how they're developing their own balance sheets. So you get kind of a really behind the scenes look on these really successful entrepreneurs and how they're running their businesses and, you know, good times and bad. I would say fortunate enough to go through the 2008 crash, because with that put a lot of stress on entrepreneurs and their businesses as a whole, as I'm sure, Gino, you can remember some of the times you went through with that. Mm-hmm. And so you could really see, you know, how people that succeeded through that or were able to survive without totally losing their business. And then also you come across, obviously, the people that were unfortunate enough to lose their businesses, you know, what happened and how they kind of, got to that point. So that was really interesting for me. And a lot of fun. With that, obviously, I was involved in a lot of construction of buildings. So that kind of started like my real piquing my interest in real estate. And most of my clients, again, I'm looking at their balance sheets and they all had real estate on their balance sheet. So it's like, oh, okay. You know, you kind of, you're starting out, it's like, how can I become a successful in life? And you start emulating people that are successful, and then you want to get to know them and learn from them. And so that kind of, I guess, kicked off my journey. I would say my first experience with, you know, owning real estate was via syndication. Some of our family friends were doing a deal in Central California. And needed some partnerships, and I had a little bit of extra capital. It was probably not enough to really justify being a partner in it, but it started me off because it was friends and family, and kind of went from there. So it was a good experience. You know, I didn't really think much of it, but you know, a couple years down the road, when you have that liquidity event, when we sold the building, it was like, whoa, okay, this is where the real power is in real estate. So,
So Vince, what made you want to join Jake and Gino? You see that first event, you see the power. I know me and you share a very similar story. You were many years in a small business, just, you know, recently liquidated, and you sold the business. I sort of did the same thing with the restaurant. For me, the why for getting into real estate was I wanted to create a lifestyle through my business. I want my business controlling my lifestyle. And I just felt like I was small. I couldn't grow. I mean, there was just that one location. I didn't know how to scale. I didn't have the tax benefits. I didn't have the cash flow coming in. I was working basically, for me, it seemed like paycheck to paycheck, 1 week to the next week. And real estate is not completely different model, especially what you're talking about. You do get the cash flow every month, but you also get those amazing liquidity events. What prompt even seek out mentorship and join the community?
Yeah, well, I would go, that would be from like my next steps, long as after the syndications, I started wanting to get more into my own wholly owned deals or joint ventures and things like that. So I started doing research and picking markets outside of California because, you know, I didn't have the capital to invest in California, and went through like bigger pockets and started researching markets and brokers, and ended up buying a 10 unit in Columbus, Ohio. And it was a heavy lift that I did from afar. And, you know, that experience was great, but that really, after we went through that and I ended up selling it 18 months after we bought it, after we did the whole heavy lift in the building, you know, repositioned the entire tenant base, ended up being a great deal. We sold it partly because I was having my third and it was getting very difficult to get out there and see the property. And we got a really good offer from somebody who was watching what we were doing in the neighborhood that owned some duplexes down the street from us. And so I let it go. But from that experience, you know, doing everything on my own, as you know, Jake likes to call, I had the kind of the IMA mentality, where I was trying to do basically everything, and especially from afar, I really realized that I needed to find some guidance, some mentorship, and a way to develop partnerships with people that I trust and can do business with.
What do you think would have changed if you had the mentorship on that first deal? I mean, would you have even gone to that Columbus market? Would you have changed your business plan? Would you have changed your buy rate criteria? Looking at it through a vacuum, would you have made more money? Would you have made less mistakes? Because everyone sometimes thinks that they need to have a deal and then get into mentorship, where I think it's backwards. I think you need to get, it's like, you know, Tony Robbins used to say, do I need to make money before I go to an event, or do I need to go to an event to make the money? And it's sort of the same principle here. I think that everyone, I mean, myself especially, I needed to invest in my education first because I don't know what a deal is. I don't know what a market looks like. I don't know how to raise capital legally. I don't know how to manage, right, whatever it was. And for me, I need that education first. And then all of a sudden, I even know what a deal is. I even know maybe Vince Scolari should not have gone to Columbus, Ohio to begin with. Maybe he should have placed capital sooner, or maybe Vince should have partnered with somebody. I don't know. What do you think people should do? And especially for you on that first deal, would it have better to have a mentor before that deal? Or
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would have definitely curbed some of my learning experiences because, you know, there were things I was struggling with and I didn't really know who to talk to in regards to how to handle some of that stuff. So I, you know, it was more trial and error as opposed to, you know, having somebody that I could fall back to that was experienced, that I could have been, hey, I'm having this problem with the property manager. How do I work around this? Or I'm, you know, our construction team's really struggling in terms of this, you know, how do I work around this? And so that would have definitely benefited me for sure. In regards to that deal, especially, I mean, we sacrificed probably more than we should have in terms of cash flow because of our mistakes, but you know, at the end we ended up making money on that deal. Now, we were also in a, you know, pretty solid growth economy. Had something happened and the economy would have went backwards in some way, shape or form, that would have potentially been really difficult for me. And I could have lost money on that deal. So, you know, you never know. And I wasn't aware of any of those factors. I mean, when I bought it, it was 2018 and everybody had been saying that, you know, here we are in almost 2022 now. Right. And we're still on a nice long upward run, but, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So
when you joined, what was the frustration like once you joined the Jake and Jill community? What was the thing that I guess alleviated the most? What did the community bring to you the most?
Well, that education for sure. I mean, you guys, you know, going through, you know, the modules and talking to my coaches and running through deals and broker relations and, you know, negotiating terms on LOIs and things along those lines. That's kind of stuff that you either have to learn by doing it a lot in the long run and getting that experience the hard way, or, you know, talk to people who've been doing it and had that experience, which, you know, the coaches come into play and you can talk through all that stuff. And, you know, every deal or LOI presents a different opportunity and, or challenge for that matter. And how do you work through that and, you know, continue to, you know, buy a good deal. And that's where that really comes into play.
When did you realize you could do this? When was that light bulb? Do real estate, get into multifamily. We're going to discuss what your two-prong approach is, but do you have a specific story? I always use the story of myself being in the shed and negotiating a deal with Jake. And I'm like, wow, I'm negotiating an $11 million deal here. I can really do this business. It was just that light bulb moment where for me, that's, I needed proof in the pudding. I needed it. Did you have a specific story or being on site, being on property, being at a boot camp, wherever you're like, wow, I can do this thing full time?
I would say it would go back to that first deal that I had in Columbus. I mean, I had kind of the, okay, you can go out and you can buy a deal and you can work with people there and manage things outside of my, you know, drivable area in terms of where I'm investing. You know, I'm not going to be a guy who's in market because I'm in the most expensive real estate market in the world. So how do I make that work from afar? And so when I went out and did that deal, you know, you get a lot of buyer's remorse and you're not sure what you're doing, you're fumbling through. But I remember when I started to, I came across some good pointers in terms of how to manage property managers, and we were having trouble just marketing the units. They were, you know, we did a pretty good job on the terms. They looked good. But for whatever reason, our property manager was not marketing the units very well. They were posting just on Craigslist and, you know, one other site that they were funneling to, like Zillow, and we just weren't getting any traction. I was like, there's gotta be a way. I mean, there's plenty of tenants that, you know, so, I ended up taking over the marketing of our units, and our leads just exploded, went from like one lead a week to 20 a week. For the four units that we were marketing at the time. And we got leased up super quick at the price that we wanted because of what I did and took it over. And it wasn't, I wasn't doing anything fancy. I was managing the leads and all sorts of different resources, predominantly in Facebook Marketplace, which helped a lot. But, you know, through the responses, I was being responsive with it as opposed to just sitting on it. And I, you know, I was more timely in terms of what my property manager was doing. So I was like, okay, I can take control of this and continue to push this forward. But that's also when that light bulb came on, and, you know, I realized that, well, I really need to find good partners to help with this because it's too much for me to do all on my own.
I love that.
And so that's where it dovetailed me into the Jake and Gino community.
Yeah. So let's discuss that two-prong approach. And I think this is what everyone needs to understand. When you're getting into real estate and you get into multifamily, most people think there's only one way of doing things. There's so many different ways. The first thing people need to understand is you need to select the market. I think the next thing is we talk about, you have to set up your buy rate criteria. We all have different criteria. Vince is in a cash heavy, no deal market. I am in sort of an opposite kind of market in Knoxville. There's not as much capital, but there are a lot more deals in that East Tennessee market. So you need to figure out what your resources are, what your time is, what your capital is, what your ability to raise capital or even network with people. Let's discuss that two-prong approach you've gotten, and then we can dive into the 26 unit deal you guys are getting on the contract right now. So
absolutely. Yeah. So again, like you said, I'm in, you know, the Bay Area, California. So it's not a deal rich environment if, you know, for what a typical investor looks for, you know, you need to get cash flow and equity growth. So using the community and, you know, going back to what you said and, you know, using things like MM4 and the boot camps, you know, networking within other students really helped kind of jettison our business. And we found a bunch of great partners to work with that are in market and can be, you know, like, you know, the team environment, you got to find people that do what you don't do really well or do what you can do, but not maybe a lot better than you. You know, make it work so everybody adds value to the partnership and you guys can tackle deals together. So we've always wanted to be, you know, in more of our wholly owned deals. So that's where the joint ventures started. And we started doing deals in our joint ventures, which have been great. We've got two under that we've done and are in contract for our second right now. And then our second portion of it was, you know, being in a capital rich environment, how could I add value to other people? So we started, our syndication capital raising side of the business. So we can be, basically the capital base, as well as obviously help with the rest of it, but that being a good lead into some partnerships with syndications and that we can raise money for you. So that's kind of how we separated our business in Lawrence Rose Capital and what it is today. And, we've done one raise thus far and joint ventures this year. And, hopefully another one underway. We're looking at another deal. So
what I love about everybody, I wish I had the Honeybee book to hold up. Vince is doing multifaceted multifamily and he's doing it from a market where there's no deals. So, Mark Twain always says, it's not what you don't know that's going to get you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. So if you're sitting out there and you're in a multifamily, you're like, well, this, I can't buy multifamily. I don't know how to invest. I'm in a bad market. I don't have any deals. Well, look at what Vince did. Vince went out there. He started networking with other people. He has a ton of value. He's in insurance, so he can underwrite deals really well. He knows risk mitigation. He's probably built systems in his business, so he can bring that aspect of it. So he can asset manage from afar. He's actually been able to, manage the management company from that first deal. He learned that experience, and he's got multifaceted. He's buying the asset, but he's also created a syndication company where he can start creating fees from there. So he's doing both aspects of it. So he's actually starting to multifaceted from that one area. And what I love about it is some deals you can syndicate, some deals you can joint venture. You have the ability to look at a deal and see which one fits which strategy. That's really, really important when you're investing in multifamily. The 26 unit, how did you guys find it? Why are you so excited about it? I know it's in Little Rock in Arkansas. That's a really good market. I like that market. Sort of underneath the radar. Institutions aren't there. There's still job growth. There's population growth. But, how did you guys find it? What do you like about the deal?
Yeah, it was through a broker relationship. It had actually fallen out of contract on a previous deal. So we got it sort of off market. I mean, it had been, pushed to somebody else off market and they didn't, they backed out of the deal for whatever reason. And then they defaulted us and we came in mm-hmm. with a good offer. It's a great little complex, 26 total units, 13 duplexes in the fastest growing neighborhood in all of Little Rock. So a little area called Bryant. It's a 2013 build, so it's kind of a B plus A. So very solid market. And the original owner is the guy who built it. And he just kind of let it ride. And it's significantly under market from what we have seen in terms of the rents. I mean, without doing any of the kind of light repositioning we are planning on doing, we could bump the rents pretty significantly right out the gates. So even though it's a nicer, newer asset, it's pretty undermanaged. Mm-hmm. So there's a big management play in it, which has bode well for us. So we can go in and obviously we want to do our value add and there's some things that we're going to do in the units and on exterior, to make it more of a communal feel. Mm-hmm. And it's in this little cul-de-sac too. So it's kind of in its own little community. So, so it's kind of nice. So we're thinking about, like actually gating the front entrance of it. So it's, mm-hmm. it'll really seem like a nice, secluded, community there in a great neighborhood with great schools.
Exit strategy. You guys are looking to refi this deal out. Does it look like numbers will be able to refi in this deal?
Yeah, we should be able to refi almost all of our capital out or close to it after 2 years. And then it's a lifetime property. We want to hold it.
So everybody, you have to listen to this because Vince is discussing the three pillars of real estate. In this part of the market cycle, they're buying a newer asset. They're buying an asset that is they're willing to hold for the next 10, 15, 20 years because it's in a great area. It's a newer build. This is valuation from operations, not just renovation. So there's a management play there as well. So they have the business model. And more importantly, I think, is they have an exit strategy. They have a plan to buy the deal. So remember, market cycle, debt, and exit strategy. Those are the three pillars of real estate. And he's executing on the market cycle portion, which is great because it's a newer asset. There's not a lot of CapEx. You could probably own this deal for the next 10 years and there's not significant capital improvements you need to make on it, which is fantastic. There's the value add component where you're raising rents. And then there's the exit strategy where in the next 2 years, you probably will refi this money out, get that capital, velocitize that money, and go into another deal. So that this deal really checks off all the boxes. The only negative, I wish it was 260 units, but we'll take a 26 unit deal because 26 units on a JV is going to set you free. You do one or two deals of those a year with partners. And at the end of the 3 or 4 years, you have 100, 120 units where you're on the conveyor belt and you have those liquidity events. All of a sudden you're owning these properties and you're making $150 to $200 a month in free cash flow, plus the tax benefits, the cost segregation on that as well. It's such an amazing swell from getting these small deals, and you have that broker relationship. So the next time a deal comes by, they know that you guys have executed on this 26 units. So they're going to come with you with a bigger deal. Vince, last question before we go to the short answers, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years in the business? What do you want to start, you know, continue to do in this business?
Yeah, well, I want to build on our JV team and continue to do deals there, as that's where, again, we can really reap the benefit and make this full time for me. And I can step away from, and then really harp in on our syndication side. I mean, I'm passionate about that as well. It's because that's how I got started. You know, investing in my first LP deal. Most people don't even realize that they can invest as an LP and do syndication type models. And it's a great way for people to get, you know, in their foot in the pool without having to, you know, go and do something wholly owned or find a partnership with, you know, however they find it, that may or may not be a good deal, right? You can work with people that, you know, you still got to vet them obviously, but work with people that know how to run a deal. You can be reap the benefits of them running that deal and generating cash flow for you. And that, that liquidity event at the end of the deal. And two, some people just don't want to be full-time landlords. So it's a great way to kind of bridge those two realms and still reap the benefits of, you know, what is probably the most powerful asset in real estate. So, you know, educating people, talking with them, telling them, you know, how they can do it, you know, how to kind of vet deals as an LP, what to look for, you know, just to kind of get, do some underwriting for people that aren't familiar with how to underwrite a multifamily deal and, you know, just educate them on how they can, you know, they can get into these deals, whether it be me or through somebody else. We want to add value to people and, you know, help them on their journey and, you know, financially educate them in something that they may not already, you know, not have much knowledge about that, you know, I think, you know, like you guys is such a powerful way to grow wealth.
Love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
All right, Vince, I got some short answer questions here for you. So, and I think I made some really good ones. Now, being in risk management, what is it that you specifically like about multifamily as an asset class?
Well, I think because it is a lower risk investment as a whole in terms of, you know, stock market trading and the other investments that you have. I mean, you look at it, most people are scared of real estate. It's mostly because they don't know about real estate. It has not, you know, they think it's risky because they don't know. So, you know, that comes into, you know, the education part that I like talking to people about. I think, you know, it, you know, as a risk manager, my, you know, my job is to assess risk for businesses as a, in a day in and day out. I like multifamily, and I think it's, you know, it is a lower risk investment as long as you know how to look at a deal and are educated enough to, you know, kind of get that, you know, the basic understanding of how a deal operates and, you know, how to run a property and manage it right. And the debt associated with it as well is another big, you know, the three pillars that you guys teach, manage right, buy right, and finance right. So if you have an understanding on those and are educated on those, it can be, you know, pretty low risk investment. So
I think, Vince, the other aspect of it is that Jake and Gino, we create multifamily entrepreneurs. You touched on it real briefly, but I don't think people look at it as a business. They just look at it as an asset and they're going to invest in it and it's going to go on autopilot. Vince is not out there property managing. He has his partners doing it. They're treating it as a multifamily entrepreneurial venture. They're treating it as a business. Each one of these little properties he has is in its own little cash machine. They need to be managed properly. You don't have to manage them properly. You can hire third-party property management and you manage them. Or if you have a partnership that's doing it as well, if you're vertically integrated. But if you're looking at it from the lens of just being an asset and just investing in it, you're missing the entire point of this amazing vehicle. Look at it from the entrepreneurial perspective where you're building a business and you're able to scale that business.
Absolutely. Well. Absolutely.
Love that. Another question for you. So you were able to peek behind a ton of entrepreneurs that had a lot of success and even saw some ones that had challenges inside their business. What were some common themes you saw of successful entrepreneurs?
Yeah. For one, I think the overwhelming theme of those who were successful and those who had struggles was properly capitalizing a business and making sure that you are structuring it for that rainy day or, emergency event that is going to ultimately happen. It happens to everybody. How do you prepare yourself for that? If you go into this with the rose-colored glasses and in entrepreneurship and think that, we're going to just suck the life out of this business and it'll just operate as it is today, every day, mm-hmm. you're completely fooling yourself. Mm-hmm. There are things that are going to come up and hopefully they're not, world-ending events or, something along those lines, or 2008 again. But, again, if you set your business up properly, you can survive those events and you will come out of it. You're going to have some bruises, some cuts, but at the end of the day, you'll survive. And that's where we all want to be. I mean, you're better holding on to these things than you are letting them go or totally losing everything on something. So that's a huge thing I think most entrepreneurs just don't understand. Being able to react quickly to scenarios when they came. Another thing I saw, and going back to 2008, talking with a lot of these contractors, they kind of went into the initial signs of the crash thinking that this is just going to be a short thing and we can continue to operate as we are. We're not going to, start looking at our expenses and cutting back where we need to. Even making the tough decision on overhead, it's hard, especially when you develop these businesses and you have family in some of it. And how do you make these tough decisions? I mean, that's what entrepreneurs are paid to do, is you have to make those tough decisions and they're not always fun, but, I think you have to be prepared for that because it is part of the thing. And so that definitely, those who reacted quickly and saw the problem and were able to cut back and, things that are fun to have as an entrepreneur, are not necessities to the business, cutting back on those and making sure that you're managing what you need as a whole and then moving forward from there. Those are definitely the two big themes I saw in that experience with people who came out of that, with just a few bumps and bruises versus those who either struggled along for the next couple of years and never really made it back to what they were before that, or they completely lost everything and had to shut their doors. Mm-hmm. So,
wow. I love that. All right. So you've created a ton of success across a few different industries. What would you say is one habit that helped you create the success you have?
Definitely continuing to educate myself in any way, shape, or form I can. We're always learning. And if you're not, then you're doing something wrong, I would say. you need to be not stuck in the same mindset of, what I know today is enough to get me, keep me going successful in the future. Especially in this currently, we're in a world right now that is rapidly evolving in terms of the way we do business and how we handle personnel and the technologies and things that we have at our fingertips. As a business owner, and how we're differentiating ourselves as businesses is probably changing at a pace far more rapid than it has in the last century, than in the last couple of years. So, staying on top of that, being open-minded, being willing to change and adapt to the new environments is definitely something that I like to try and always continue to do in my business and businesses. And going back to my regular business here and my risk management, that was, we just sold the business and that was because of, our inability to adapt with some of my partners and it led to the sale of a great business. So, I've been on the back end of that too, and I'm hopefully taking those experiences and moving them forward with, my multifamily business.
Boom. Love that. All right, Gino, I'm going to let you take the summary on this one.
I won't sing, but he's got a great name, Vince Scolari. I love the story because it very similarly mirrors my story and owning a small business, but making it feel as if it's a W-2 job, being caught in that rat race where you know you have these great ideas, you want to scale the business, but you just don't know how to, and you're frustrated, and you're in insurance. And I think everyone needs to really take the paradigm shift on insurance. We all look at insurance as an expense. That's part of the problem. Whether it's, I love whole life, you're looking at it as an expense, whether it's renter's insurance, whether it's car insurance, look at it as an investment. You're investing it to be able to protect your assets. That's one thing I wanted to tell everybody, because I think the insurance man does get a bad rap. And I think if you start looking at it from that way, work side by side, that same side selling, and you're going to deal a lot with an insurance and multifamily, and they are going to be a partner, because there's a lot of different ways you can protect your assets. And that's what you're looking to do. But Vince, you know, ultimately, after several years, got into multifamily, bought his first deal. I think having a mentor in that first deal would have probably got those leases up a lot quicker, would have had the turns a lot quicker, would have taken 18 months. It would have probably taken him 6 months. So he would have saved the time value of money. He would have saved the experiences, but that didn't deter him. He just figured out that I just need a little bit of help here. I just need a little bit of mentorship, a little bit of guidance. And I need a community where I can meet other people and bring my skill set and bring their skill sets together and meld them together. And that little constant education, whether it's the three pillars of real estate, whether it's buy right, manage right, finance right, he comes together and he figures out his two-prong approach. That's why on this call and this podcast, I want everyone to figure out what your approach is. What approach are you going to take? Are you going to be the creative financing expert? Are you going to be the syndication expert? Are you going to be the JV expert? Are you going to be the solo expert? Whatever that may be, learn all of them and start figuring out which one you like and start adopting possibly all of them. But that two-prong approach, I love it, whether it's raising the capital or it's JVing on deals. He's creating his multifaceted, and it's from a couple of small deals, and he sees the exit strategy and their power of real estate. So for me, it's been a great show. I've seen the growth of Vince over the last couple of years. The important thing, everybody, is Vince puts a lot of time and effort into it. He's in California. Guess what? He comes out to Knoxville. He was at the Money Mixer in Knoxville. He's meeting the students. He flies out to Arkansas, meets his partners. He flies out to wherever he needs to. He puts the effort and the time into it. And that's what will make you. An MM4, that's right. It's going to make you a successful person as well. Amazing event, wasn't it? Just the energy.
It was amazing.
Just to see people, just to connect with people, just to tell them what you're doing.
Yeah.
Sharing business cards, raising capital, looking at opportunities, meeting brokers. That's what this business is all about. And getting clarity on what your two-prong approach is. That's the important thing in life. What are you trying to accomplish in life?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can't stress enough, you guys got to get out there and go to these events, because that's where I met my partners, and mm-hmm. it does come back. I mean, you'll come back looking at deals or talking to people that you may have future deals with. So,
or getting on a Movers and Shakers podcast, just saying
that,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Love it. Vince, how can everybody get a hold of you?
Well, they can always contact us on Facebook. I'm in the community. At our webpage, lawrencerosecapital.com, and it's LAURENCE, named after my two daughters. Mm-hmm. And my email is just vscolari@lawrencerosecapital.com.
Boom. Well, listen, Vince, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and sharing your Movers and Shakers story. I know, guys, listen, if you like the show, please leave us a review. And until next time, let's make it a Movers and Shakers week. See you, everybody.
Thanks, Vince.
Bye, guys.